Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Take grouse hunting over it all.
What is a grouse? Like a little mouse bomb? What is it?
I don't
state
know.
Bird.
I've heard
what?
Of it. It's a bird?
It's a state bird.
Does
it's
it
a
have
bird?
Nipples?
Yeah, they're very fast, very hard to hit. You got to be good with a shotgun, which I am.
Oh, boy.
Wow. And then do you eat it?
Absolutely. If I get one, yes. Absolutely.
Does it taste like chicken?
It's better than chicken because they eat a lot of berries and grapes and wild grapes and things like that. So the meat's a lot sweeter than a chicken.
Healthier meat for you, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it taste like a Cornish hen?
I don't know if I ever had Cornish hen, to be honest with you.
Well, thank you, Alan. We appreciate it. Good luck. Have fun up there in Brookville.
Don't get on Alan's bad side, by the way. He's good with the
He's good with a shotgun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't make him wait too much longer.
What a nice man he was, Bob, and welcome aboard.
How are you?
I've never been better. You look spry. You look awake.
Well,
you
we have a lot of television going on today, so
yeah?
We have all these specials coming up, so shoot them. Shoot another one later. And
the grouse or the television specials?
No, the television specials.
Have you ever been hunting?
No. I'm not a hunter. I've gone fishing, not hunting. Have you?
Well, here's the thing. My relatives up in Brockway always laugh at me. They're you know, hunters and fishers. They're country folk, and I'm suburban guy folk. So they'll give me – one time they threw the clay pigeons up in the air and gave me a rifle. And as I shot it, it had the – what do you call the back lash?
Yeah, it hurt you.
It knocked me on the ground,
yeah,
and they're all laughing at me. So, no, I don't do
that. No.
I don't have any stance really against hunting, but I am afraid – my fear is that I'll hit the deer – and think it's dead and run up to it, and it'll have one last gasp and jump up and kill me.
It'd be like the Undertaker.
Exactly.
Just move up.
Exactly. That's why I don't.
I'm not.
Plus, I don't want to get up at 4 in the morning and sit in a tree. I don't want to do that.
I have, Plexico Burris nightmares that if I ever had a gun like that, I would accidentally shoot myself.
Yeah, exactly.
Somewhere. I forget where I put things, and I would forget where I put it, and all of a sudden I reach into my pants and boom.
Well, that would be bad.
That would be bad.
And or that I stray into the some zone where somebody else thinks I'm a deer and shoots me. You know what I mean?
Well, those accidents happen a lot.
Yeah, the whole thing is not my scene. All right, Bob, I'm glad you've come aboard here. Thrilled would be more like it. Pony has put out the eyeball emoji. It has people speculating about Justin Fields. Is he going to secretly start? It has people speculating about who's the pitcher that they Bailey Falter. It has people speculating
Bailey
about
Falter.
Brandon Ayuk to the Pirates.
Yeah, that's the big news.
There's people going wild here, Bob. It's got like 12,000 views. What do you think he's referring to here?
I don't know. I have no clue, and speculation will just make you go crazy. Those eyeballs that come up, I never understood it. I understand what people are trying to do if you have some news. Well, if you have some news, then put the news out there. Right?
He's a provoker, isn't he, Andrew?
Yeah, I think he likes that role a little bit. He's very good and disciplined about not reacting to his notifications.
I know, and there's lots of them right now. Okay, Bob, we're going to talk to a guy from Baltimore, Jonas Schaefer, everything about the Ravens. We have Artie Smith saying they're going to burn the boats as far as their use of Justin Fields. We have Mike Florio on Russell Wilson's future, on George Pickens' future. Bob, we're stocked. I mean, this is incredible today. We're 2 days away.
2 days away, and there's still a lot of talk, a lot of stuff to get into.
I think once the Penn State game is over tonight, it's really going to heat up. And, yes, we're going to talk about the Penn State game as well because all eyes will be on that. The 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19 Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills and the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. What's the latest on Zay Flowers? He is the explosive element in the air, at least. Derrick Henry's pretty explosive, but in the air, that's the guy for the Ravens. What's the latest on him? We'll tell you next. Well, pretty much any Ravens game you find, Zay Flowers is going to be an impactful player, often their leading receiver in a given game, easily their leading receiver among the wideouts on that team. Is he going to play? Bob, you told me Kyle Van Noy had a quote on that.
Yeah, he was asked, and his belief is that he will play. I don't know if that's just some, mind games going on or whatever, but of course you can think that all you want. It's about what, and they're just going to drag this all the way into a game time decision. You'll see him like you saw last week when Brown for Cincinnati was out. Chase Brown was trying to figure out if he was going to play, and people thought he might. He went out there, took a couple of laps, and they decided not to. I think it'll be a similar situation with Zay Flowers.
Meantime, a Twitter poll's out there you can respond to that I put out. Who would give the Steelers a better chance to beat the Ravens? Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, or no way Mulsey made 9 threes? And that's pulling in 40% of the vote, Bob. People have confidence in neither quarterback, although Russ is slightly ahead of Justin. All right, for the Flowers situation and all things Ravens, let's go to Jonas Schaefer from the Baltimore Banner. Jonas, that seems to be the question of the week. Is a percent chance that Zay Flowers plays, and if he does, is he going to be anywhere near full health?
Yeah, but thanks for having me on. I would say it's probably about 5%, and that might be generous, 5% odds that he plays. Some context on that Kyle Van Noy quote. I think it was from very early in this week. They recorded the podcast. Obviously, they played on Saturday, so I think that podcast that he does with former NFL defensive lineman Gerald McCoy was probably done Sunday or Monday, which was, before they got back on the practice field Tuesday. So I really would not put any stock into it. He didn't practice yesterday. He didn't practice the day before. Practice starts in about 15, 20 minutes here. I don't think we'll see him out there. I just think that, the fact that John Harbaugh said it was, quote, not a season-ending injury gives you a sense that there is some severity to it, that he could be out for longer than just a couple days. Again, if he is out there, I don't know that he would be anywhere close to as useful as some of the other guys on this wide receiver depth chart who are not especially talented once you get past, maybe Nelson Aguilar, but I just don't know why the Ravens would possibly risk his availability / health for possibly, the divisional round if they feel like they can get by without him.
See, I think that's the key to it. They have, bigger fish to fry maybe in their minds that, this is a longer stretch for them because they feel confident they can be that team that goes on that role, even though postseason history is kind of up and down on that. But so I agree with you there. I want to ask you about just Derrick Henry. And we saw two different forms of Derrick Henry. The first time he was in Pittsburgh, they created a fumble. It was Nick Herbig who jarred the ball away. And then for whatever reason, John Harbaugh didn't go back to him nearly as much as he should have, especially in the two-point conversion. The next time we saw him, it was pound the ball. I was looking at numbers, which was interesting. Most yards rushing, yards per game in December or later since the Super Bowl era began, and Derrick Henry is above Barry Sanders and Eric Dickerson. He has more yards than any of those guys. I would suspect that, and my question in a long way of saying this is, how many carries do you think he'll get in this game?
Ravens fans are hoping it's about 25 or 30. there is still a lot of PTSD over how their season ended last year in the AFC Championship game. Obviously, they did not have Derrick Henry in that one, but they still had a very good, very explosive rushing attack, and the Chiefs owned the line of scrimmage that game and basically took away any notion of a sustained second half drive built on the run. So I would say that if I'm a Steelers fan, if I'm a Steelers coach or player, that is probably what I'm hoping for, that I can maybe take an early lead, maybe just frustrate Todd Monken to the point where he sees no use in trying to run this team into a brick wall. And listen, obviously having Larry Ogunjobi back would definitely help. Having Deshaun Elliott would help. Having a healthier T.J. Watt would help. None of those guys were anywhere close to what they were in Week 16. So I think that Pittsburgh should be feeling pretty good about the possibility of a rematch. But, there were certain things that Steelers defense did philosophically in Week 16 that let Derrick Henry run wild. I don't know if this will be the approach on Saturday, but when the Ravens get in this read option game, which I think they will crank up the usage of because it is kind of do or die, now or never time with Lamar, they were intent on not making Lamar the guy who ends up keeping that ball. So they were giving huge running lanes to Derrick Henry just by virtue of how those run fits played out. And I wonder if they will be a little bit more judicious, a little bit more selective in how they approach the Ravens when they do have, you know, those shotgun and pistol formations, because they never really gave the Steelers a lot of trouble. They also really struggled to defend the run when the Ravens sent a guy in motion. That's also another potential downstream effect of not having Zay, was, you know, he is a lot of times their designated motion guy because of how quickly he gets up field, because of how quickly he gets across the field. And will it be the same kind of, you know, fear struck into the heart of Derek Queen or Landon Roberts or Deshaun Elliott if it's Rashad Bateman or if it's Nelson Aguilar being the one to go from left to right or right to left instead of Zay Flowers?
Jonas Schaefer of the Baltimore Banner. He's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Any other injuries or people coming back from injury or things like that you're monitoring that could have an impact on this game, Jonas?
No, I mean, Zay's the big one. Kyle Hamilton showed up on the injury report on Tuesday with a limited participation for a knee, but he was back to full yesterday. Obviously, the Ravens should be getting Justice Hill back for this game. He's missed the past two games. Obviously, he got knocked out of that game against the Steelers with a concussion, which then turned into an illness, which has sidelined him recently. So it would be really, really nice to have one of the NFL's best backup running backs back in that stable, especially if the Ravens find themselves in third and longs, because Derrick Henry is a beast, as you guys know, but he is not as willing a pass blocker as Justice Hill, nor is he as good a pass catcher in space. So I think having him back there to pair with Derrick Henry and, you know, whoever else is going to be that third running back, I think would make a big deal. Deontay Hardy, who's a kick returner, punt returner, was back in practice this week. He's not really a threat on offense, but the Ravens have gone through a lot of different options at punt returner because of, you know, issues with bumping the punts and just turnovers in general. So it doesn't sound like he would be a factor in that race this week. It sounds like it's going to be Steven Sims, who they brought in before week 17. But obviously you want to have the utmost ball security, especially going against the Steelers team. I mean, you could argue that the difference in that week 16 game was that the Ravens fell on the fumbles that they lost, and the Steelers didn't fall on theirs.
Yeah, Jonas, I want to ask you about Lamar Jackson. We've spent a lot of time up here talking about pressure. There's pressure certainly on Mike Tomlin and the fact that they have a long playoff drought. There's pressure on Russell Wilson to try to get back to what it is he does in big games. That's why they were tantalized with the opportunity to get him. What is the feeling down there about Lamar Jackson and advancing to a Super Bowl? You look at his regular seasons from back-to-back or two MVP seasons in 19 and 23, I think it was. The passer ratings are 113-102. This year is the best ever at 119. Yet that's all regular season. So how much pressure is there, and do fans out there detect it?
Yeah, I think you'd be blind to say that there's not a huge amount of pressure on Lamar. I mean, I think it was a good self-conscious decision, a self-aware decision of him on Tuesday to acknowledge that he has felt antsy in some games, which have led to some early game jitters, you know, the kind that you probably say you saw in that first game in Pittsburgh that the Ravens lost. But you're right. I mean, the divide between regular season Lamar and playoff Lamar is pretty jarring. I mean, you look at, you know, PFF tracks turnover-worthy play rate, which is basically any throw or drop back that they think, you know, merits a turnover. And Lamar in the regular season years past has been pretty good at keeping that. This year he's the best in the NFL at limiting turnover-worthy plays. But you look at what he's done consistently in the playoffs, his you know, turnover-worthy play rate would basically make him as turnover-prone as Kirk Cousins and Will Levis this year, which is no way to win a playoff game. You know, you look at how this offense has started. I mean, they've averaged six first-half points per playoff game when Lamar has started. The average since like 2018 is 12 or 13 points. And I should point out, obviously, that there is a kind of line of demarcation here where the first 6 years or the first 5 years of Lamar's tenure here, he was still learning the position, was a little bit limited in terms of his empowerment at the line of scrimmage. He didn't have the best passing game designer because it was still a Greg Roman offense. And once Greg Roman's rushing attack, you know, kind of fell apart in the passing attack wasn't much to speak of. Todd Monken, you feel there's a lot more balance there. There's a lot more empowerment there. There's a lot more trust there. So you don't want to jump too far into the data there. But, you know, you look at that Chiefs game last year, and it felt a lot like some of the earlier Ravens games with Lamar, D. Hallam. So as much of a treat as it's been to watch him play this year, as incredible as he has been, I am still very much in, you know, shut up until you make it kind of mode. I mean, this is now or do or die, now or never situation, because I think every game from here on out in the playoffs of Lamar is probably the biggest game of his career.
Jonas, Justin Tucker's had some shaky moments in recent years, particularly the stretch this year where, you know, the Steeler game, he was 1-for-3. The Eagles game, he was 2-for-4. And these games, Steelers-Ravens, often come down to field goals. What's the confidence level there with Justin? And what do you think if he had to bet? Is he going to be on his game here?
That's tough. With the cold being what it is, with the wind potentially whipping around, it's going to be really tough. I mean, you know, certain parts of the stadium are tougher to kick into than other parts. I'm inclined to say that he's turned somewhat of a corner. You know, Chris Horton, the special teams coordinator, said he felt yesterday that Justin Tucker is in a better place now. Obviously, he hasn't missed a kick since coming back from the bye. That's field goals and extra points. I think one of those was a 50-yarder, but he hasn't had the kind of volume of work that, you know, say Chris Boswell has had in Pittsburgh. So I still give the Steelers the heavy advantage of the special teams. I mean, I think that's the one matchup in this game where you could say Pittsburgh has a definitive advantage. Obviously, Chris Boswell, I hope he's all right. I don't know if that advantage is still there, if he's sick for Saturday's game. So I hope he's able to come back to the full strength and give us a kind of full preview of what, you know, how good this Pittsburgh special teams unit is. But, you know, it's tough to tell with Tucker. You know, he missed an important kick against the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. You don't want to say that game came down to him, because there were a lot more, you know, people at fault for how things went. But the Ravens will need him at his best, and he hasn't been at his best. And in the playoffs, especially in recent years, it feels like there haven't been a whole lot of high leverage kicks where they tried to have it and he's nailed it.
One more question for you, Jonas, and this is about their defense. Mike Tomlin made a big thing about having Dean Pease back as a consultant, someone who's been there, done that. You got a young defensive coordinator. What strategically did this mean for their defense? Was it moving Kyle Hamilton around to get him more involved? What did they do to clamp down on their pass defense, which has really improved over the last several weeks?
Yeah, two big moves. I think it would be installing Kyle Hamilton and Ardarius Washington as the strong and free safety. You know, that meant moving Marcus Williams to the bench. I think there were huge communication breakdowns with him for whatever reason. They obviously released Eddie Jackson, who was signed in the offseason, to be the kind of Geno Stone replacement that would let Kyle Hamilton be the, you know, destroyer near the line of scrimmage. Obviously, he's having an all-pro type season as a deep safety, but he was, I think, a little bit more impactful last year, being around the ball, lining up in the slot, being able to, you know, fit up the run, blitz the quarterback, cover tight end, that kind of thing. But they have played a remarkably easy schedule, I would say, about since week 11. They played a few tough opponents who have given them some trouble, but they faced a lot of reserve quarterbacks or banged up offenses. I think they've also improved their defense over the middle of the field by benching Trenton Simpson, who was the second-year linebacker who they had really high hopes for as being the Patrick Queen replacement, but that has just not been the case. So opposite Roquan Smith, they've kind of gone to a bit of a rotation where it's Malik Harrison as the early down guy who's going to be a, you know, kind of nasty in-your-face run defender. And then if they need, you know, that second linebacker on obvious passing downs, it's usually Chris Poore, who's, you know, not especially talented or athletic, but just knows where to be, knows how to, you know, be in the right spots, do the right thing, you know, did a good job of kind of helping to set up a sack a couple weeks ago against the Texans. So you see them being first in all these areas, you know, since week 11. I think that is pretty reflective of who they've been. But, you know, even week 16, I think the Steelers did a pretty good job of moving the ball. And it was just two very, very bad decisions, or two very, very bad turnovers by Russ that probably doomed the Steelers in that game.
About a half minute left here, Jonas. How about a prediction?
I don't think the Ravens will cover the spread. I just think that there's so much familiarity. I think the Steelers defense will be a lot better prepared with the health that they have coming back. But I just don't know how Pittsburgh is going to move this ball sustainably against this Ravens defense, especially on the road, especially with Mason McCormick having a broken right hand. So I think I'm going to go with Ravens 23, Steelers 16.
We appreciate the time, man. That was very insightful. Thanks for taking it.
Appreciate you having me on again. Appreciate it, guys.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, says only a 5% chance that Zay Flowers will play. That's two people we've talked to from Baltimore with great insight, I think, this week, Bob, who don't think the Ravens will cover that spread. They think it'll be a one-score game. Like, do you know, Bob, how many of the 37 Tomlin Harbaugh matchups have been one-score games? How many of the 37?
Counting playoffs?
Yes.
Okay, because I know in the playoffs they've been mostly two-score games, except one was a 7-point. The others have been double digits when the Steelers have won. So I would say 29.
30. That was a wonderful guess, Bob. What else did you glean from him?
The same kind of trepidation that I think a lot of people have with regard to the lack of playoff wins and success in the postseason for Lamar Jackson. There's pressure on everyone, especially when you're a two-time MVP of the league. The expectations are ramped up. People expect you to do those things in the postseason. When you do not, it ramps up. He alluded to it. I saw his interview this week where he said, yeah, I got a little antsy. Well, the Steelers should try to do everything in their power to make him as antsy as possible.
That's what they need to do. Yeah, I agree. I'll tell you who's become a good player for the Ravens that I meant to ask Jonas about, and I forgot, was...
The cornerback. Oh.
Wiggins?
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking of Dafe Owe.
Owe, too. He's been really good.
He took a leap this year. Double-digit sacks with 10, and his tackles for loss went way up. And he's a guy that you have to worry about. All right, Bob. And I'll just add this. Both the games you mentioned in the playoffs were two-score games, you're right about that. But both were one-score games in the fourth quarter. That AFC title game, I don't think of that as anything close to a blow. That was Joe Flacco getting the ball back with 7 minutes left down by a field goal.
I'm just saying, though, if you look at the number of scores we're talking about.
Yeah, you're right.
But, yeah, and even the one the Steelers lost this past, whatever it was 2 minutes in the third quarter. It was a one-score game. They had a chance to win that game. So they know how to play Baltimore. There's no question about that. That's why the spread still is stunning to me.
Stunning is the word I would use as
Sean, well. Sean, you follow spreads. I mean, when you first saw that, someone asked me before I ever saw it, how much would it be when it opened? I said, well, probably 4.5, maybe somewhere in that range. I never expected 8 or 8.5.
You always see competitive, low-scoring games that come down to the final possession. So, yeah, it's kind of counterintuitive to have it as a two-possession spread.
And is then it go still up. At 10?
Yeah, I think it is.
And if then not, go to, and then and go half, to but, 10 when it becomes more clear that Flowers probably won't play. That's the crazy part, Bob.
It really is. And I don't know what they're looking at other than the Steelers have just not played well at all, and they're banking on Lamar Jackson being – I think Derrick Henry is a huge difference for them, regardless of how good their run game last year was. And if Justice Hill comes back as he's suspected, that's a really good third down back and a guy who can
very
do some
good.
Things.
It's just that the Ravens do things against this team that they literally do against nobody else. Do you know Derrick Henry, his only lost fumble in the last 2 years was against who, Bob?
Yeah.
That's correct. The Steelers.
That's right.
And, Lamar,
and for it, he got punished.
He did.
I mean,
it's just weird. He's lost one fumble in the last 2 years, and it was against the Steelers. The only real blowouts, legit blowouts in this series since Harbaugh and Tomlin were facing off. The 35-7 opener that the Ravens won in 2011, which gave us for the first time, I'd rather be a wine drinker than a grape squasher, Tomlin quote. That was one. The night that Ben threw all those touchdowns. Remember that one?
That was
five in the first half.
Wasn't that a Monday night or Sunday night game?
I think that was
that the same game that James Harrison had like 3.5 sacks?
Yes.
Yeah, they just.
That was 43-23. And then there were a couple of 26-7 type games. And that's it. That's it for legit blowouts. You can count them on one hand. You don't even need your whole hand, Bob.
So that's why I think this point spread is just a little bit too outrageously high, and that's why I think it should come down. That's why if you're betting it, take the points. That's a prudent play.
All right, coming up, we have to talk about this because it's tonight and there's obviously massive interest in it. It's Penn State Notre Dame, Bob. Let's talk about that next before we get into the Brian Backos of the world and Jeff Hathorn, Donnie Football, all kinds of people talking Steeler Ravens. I know Sean wants to weigh in too on Penn State Notre Dame. What's at stake here? Who's going to win the game? Let's talk about all of that coming up. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can listen to the Pomp and Joe Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Welcome back to Pomp and Joe. To my left, Sean, don't call him Seth Meyers. Are you a Penn State grad? Are you a Penn State fan?
I graduated there, yep. Mulsey and I were classmates.
But Mulsey hated Penn State, and you actually rooted for them, correct? Did you know Mulsey in college?
No, unfortunately, I did not.
Unfortunately, he says, Bob. I wish Sean had been part of Mulsey the Snowman.
Yeah, he has a good deep voice.
Man, there's so many storylines tonight for Penn State Notre Dame. Our little friend City Limits is there taunting us yesterday, Bob.
Did he go to the recommended restaurant?
I don't know, but he sent us photos of what it's like there right now with palm trees.
I liked your reaction to it.
Yeah, I insulted him. That photo hurt, didn't it? You and I could be on a golf course there right now.
I know. When you see this weather, we know he doesn't golf. That's a mistake he's making. He's going to nice weather climates. That's what you want to do.
Well,
to kill some time.
The beach ain't bad either. So one of them is James Franklin. Listen, James Franklin has already had a good year, borderline great year. He's won the two playoff games. If he loses at home to SMU as a big favorite with 100,000 people behind him, with not having won hardly any true big games in his whole career, I think I might have been on the side if it's time to move on from James Franklin. But he didn't. Sometimes a career comes down to a game. He won that game rather convincingly in the end and then doubled up and won again. And yes, they got a favorable draw. That's not their fault. They pounded that kid, Genty, from Boise State. I give him credit. James Franklin, to me, I still see people saying, can he win the big game? He just won two of them, Bob. Where are you with Franklin right now?
I'm fine with James Franklin. I think the program has been built up. He has taken it to a level that I think they should be happy with, whether or not they win a national championship or not. I think, you know, there's only one team. So many mitigating circumstances go into it. I do think they're going to win this game tonight, and I think –
would you have moved on if he lost to SMU? Would you have thought about it? I would have had to seriously think about
it. No, I still like the recruiting aspect of what he does, and they're still getting elite athletes in there.
Yeah.
I think that's where it all starts, basically. And if you can't do that, then you're going to be stuck no matter how good your coaching is, no matter how good your system is. So I like what he's been able to do and who he's brought in there. And I do think that in this game, which will be a close game, they have more offensive weapons than Notre Dame. And I think that, in the end of the day, will be the storyline that you'll take away from it. They'll win because of something that Drew Aller does, either to Tyler Warren, their running backs. They have playmakers in a lot of positions that I think you need in this kind of a game.
Oscar?
I don't want to get too far off the topic here, but I think there's been a misconception for a long time about James Franklin that he recruits talent that, you know, is equal to that of any team in the country. They're not on equal ground with the Ohio States or the Alabamas or whatnot, but I think they're pretty equal in talent with Notre Dame. So I think that this is a game that they have a great chance to win. If they do move on, they probably play Ohio State. They will be heavy underdogs, and they don't have the same caliber of talent, and I think that's why they've struggled to get over that hump. But Notre Dame feels like a much more even matchup, so I think coaching will be more paramount in this game than maybe some of the other big tests that the Nittany Lions have had. The biggest question, and no one knows the answer at this point, is will Abdul Carter play?
Right.
If he does play, will he be healthy? There's talk now that he will be the first defensive player selected in the draft. Mm. His impact is absolutely crucial to their success defensively, even though it's probably not a game where they're going to rush the quarterback nearly as much as normal because Leonard's more inclined to run it, and I think Notre Dame as a whole will run the football. I think Penn State has a great chance. To me, it's already a successful season no matter what, but you want to get greedy at this point. And I think this is a true toss-up type of game. So I feel pretty optimistic. I think, as crazy as it sounds, Notre Dame actually is a better matchup than what Georgia would have been for Penn State. And by the way, Joe, guess what?
What?
We have a very special guest right now on the line.
Good morning,
hey,
Limits.
Joe. Hey, Bob. I'm calling you from sunny Florida, the home of Florida down here, where there are perfect skies and 70-degree weather.
Limits, have you been drinking already?
No, I honestly have not. I am staying in Fort Lauderdale, and we're going to the beach for a couple of hours before heading down to the game.
How about this, Bob? He's headed to the beach. Are you jealous?
Yes, a little bit. I would love a little beach, a little Mai Tai on the beach. Some of those Fort Lauderdale beaches are really nice. I think they're underrated when it comes to Florida vacationing. So did you go to my restaurant? I know you were asking me about it, and you said that you looked at the menu and you were shocked. But did you go?
I did. No, I did not, Bob. We ended up going to a place in Fort Lauderdale that was very nice, too. It was a little bit too pricey for the Bechtold family to be able to splurge on. We're going to splurge it on some gear and other things down around the stadium. I was telling Bob, Joe, Al Michaels must have taken him to this restaurant. It was a really nice one.
No, it was good. In fact, you missed out because I had called in ahead and I gave them my credit card. I was going to pay for all of your dinners, but you missed. So they just sent it
back.
I'll
tell you who will pay for your dinners if you want. Ron. Go find Ron.
Yeah,
he's been known to splurge for people.
A little bit far away from Ron. I mean, he's hours away from here.
Maybe he went to the game.
I think it would be well worth it.
I need to send him a text and show him a picture. I'm looking out right now in Fort Lauderdale at a lake. There's a pool in front of me, and there's boats that, I mean, have to be, like, I don't even know, $70,000, $80,000 that are docked in this little port right now. It's
one of those
really
is,
cool.
One of those is Bob's, I think. Listen, Limits, what's the atmosphere like around town? Seems to be an equal number of Notre Dame and Penn State people?
Yeah, I'd say so. And there was a funny tweet that went out from one of the Penn State beat writers that said he saw a couple of Ohio State fans in a hotel. They thought that the Buckeyes were playing in the Orange Bowl and not the Cotton Bowl, so that was kind of hilarious. So there's a couple of Ohio State fans running around too. But no, we were at South Beach last night and a lot of Penn State people. But yeah, Notre Dame people also have been floating around. Atmosphere has been electric so far, guys, so we're really pumped and looking forward to it. Really nothing off the beaten path, though, in terms of seeing anything extreme as of yet.
Is Abdul Carter going to play? You getting any inside info there? You should be over at the news conferences.
I think he's going to play, and I think, because I heard Sean saying that, he's probably going to be one of the first defensive players picked, if not the first. It just kind of shows the culture that Franklin has built, that Abdul Carter would want to play in this game, knowing that his arm is not 100% or even 90%, maybe even 85%, that he wants to go out there and finish this season on a high note. I think they do think they have a realistic chance to win a national championship, and more so they want revenge against Ohio State. It's a pretty even matchup. On paper, like, this is going to come down to Riley Leonard for Notre Dame against the Penn State secondary, which was torched against Oregon, but had a much better day against SMU, against Boise State, and the battle in the trenches. But that's the matchup I look for. If Abdul Carter can get to Riley Leonard, Penn State will have success.
Limits, we appreciate the call. You enjoy yourself out there. Don't do anything Bob wouldn't do.
Will do. Thanks, guys. Good to talk to you.
All right, Austin.
What a man he is, huh, Bob?
How about him coming in? Hot, as they say.
I've always been amazed at the fact that you could hop on a plane right now. I first discovered this when I was covering the Penguins. I would wake up on a morning like today, you know, 20 degrees and snowy in Pittsburgh. And in 2 hours, maybe 2.5, I would be landing anyway. So in like 3.5 hours, I could be on a beach swimming. God, I love that, Bob.
Well, it's not as easy today as it was when you first discovered it, I can tell you that. There are a lot of delays and cancellations, unlike it seems what happened 20 years ago.
You and I could throw our golf clubs in your car right now, get the next flight to Florida, and still play around today in the sun.
Absolutely we could.
Let's do it.
But although you'd have to, summer's better because it gets darker later. If we did this now, by the time you got down there, you wouldn't have a whole 18 holes.
We'd play 9, Bob.
Okay.
Who do you think's going to win the game? What's your prediction?
I like Penn State. I like them to win 27-21. I think there will be a really entertaining game. I think we've seen a lot of one-sided games in this college football playoff. I think this won't be one of them. This will be a really well-contested, I think very entertaining game.
I'm going to also pick Penn State with a caveat. I'm going to say they win the game 30-24. But sometimes with James Franklin, 2 + 2 = 4. There have been multiple games lately where they're running the ball just conventionally. I think of the USC game and I think of the SMU game. And then all of a sudden they get fancy and want to start throwing it around. It's like, just line up and play 1970s Penn State football and you can win the game if you need to. So if they're running the ball well tonight, I don't know what they will, but if they are, I want them to stick with what works and not get cute and fancy, Sean.
I think they're going to win the game. I was going nuts against Boise when they were doing exactly what you said. They were running it very successfully, and they decided to go away from that. They had a 3rd-and-1, basically just run it between the tackles. Yes. You're guaranteed to get it. Kotelnicki, their offensive coordinator, is so creative that I think he sometimes just gets bored with the basic handoffs. That said, tonight, actually, Notre Dame's defense, I think, is really good against the run.
They are.
So they might have to pull out some of those unconventional trick plays, get Warren involved in, you know, maybe a wildcat or different scenarios. But I agree, especially if they have the lead in the second half and they're running the ball well, and Singleton's been really good and Catron Allen's been even better. Those are the two guys that are going to seal this victory, I think, late in the game if Penn State comes out on top.
Yeah, I guess the moral of the story for me is just go with what's working, you know, as like what Tomlin says about John Harbaugh in so many words. What he said to his team last year was, keep this thing close and they'll do something crazy at the end. I don't want Franklin to be that guy tonight. I think Penn State's going to win the game, having said all that. All right, let's get back to the Steelers. And Mike Florio was on with the PM guys yesterday, Bob, and had some very interesting things to say about the futures of Russell Wilson and George Pickens. Let's hear what Mike had to say next. You can listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest, run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills, and we still are going to talk to Brian Batko, Donnie Football, and Jeff Hathorne as we look ahead to Ravens-Steelers on Saturday night. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.